You're listening to the New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planning. If you're looking to take your next strategic step towards multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com has a new look, a new host, and new resources. Take a minute and check out the Church Planning Masterclass with lessons from leaders like Matt Chandler, D.A. Horton, Trillia Newbell, and more at newchurches.com.
Welcome to this edition of the newchurches.com podcast. And we've made some changes. As you know, we've gotten good response on those changes. Let me encourage you to leave a review wherever you download your podcast. Today, we're going to talk about a question that is, it's not an uncommon one. The question is, how soon do you multiply? Is multiplying early better than waiting? If you haven't heard the expression, if you haven't planted a church by your third year, you probably never will. That's kind of folk wisdom that's often in the church planting environment. I don't know that it's true, but it is commonly said, and we'll talk some about that as well. My guest today, co-host, if you will, is Dahati Lewis, lead pastor of the Blueprint Church in Atlanta. Recently served as president of the Send Network with the North American Mission Board, raised in California, undergrad from University of North Texas, master's from Dallas Theological Seminary, and then a doctor of ministry from Southeastern Seminary, author of several books, including Among Wolves, Disciple Making in the City. I'm going to bring him in just a second. I want to encourage you to check out a couple of resources as well. Check out the Church Planting Primer. You can take a group of your leaders from your church through the Church Planting Primer. It's a free four session. It's on our website, newchurches.com. Help develop Christians' understanding of the biblical rationale for church planting. It has practical ways to get involved with it. It's available free, like all of our resources are, at newchurches.com. So let's jump in and start talking a little bit to Dahati. Dahati, before we get into some of the questions we want to have today for you, a big change in your ministry. You're leaving or left your president role at the Send Network, starting something new. Tell us about what you are about to do.
Well, I got the opportunity to switch my focus and change the focus from being the president of Send Network. Is a job that I've been doing over the last 3 years. It's been a blessing. I've loved it, enjoyed it. You know, we are Send Network. I am still bleeding it. I'm wearing the jacket right now. If you could see me, I'm wearing the jacket right now. So
very swag.
The swag. But it was just like really for me, just the shift and the focus and the shift of focus to going to doing what I know God has made me. You know, from years back when I planted Blueprint Church over 12 years ago, I really felt like this call, this desire to be the last generation to leave the urban context for sound discipleship. And it was in that journey that we started planting churches and we named it Blueprint. And the reason why we named it Blueprint, because the definition of a blueprint is a plan or a purpose that's used as a guide to start something new. And so that's been my heart. I wanted to be the last generation. I want to see churches planted in every urban context. I wanted my kids to be able to go to any urban context across North America and say there's a healthy, gospel-centered, missionally engaged church in that area. And that's really has been my heart. And while I loved my job at Send Network, I felt like only 20 to 40% of my time can go to what I feel like God created me to do. You know, and he's created me to make disciples in the urban context and see churches planted in that area. And so that's really where I started talking to the president, Kevin Azale, and basically said, this is kind of my heart. He was 100% for it. He's always been kind of for me and for kind of what's been going on. And that's what I made that decision to shift my focus so that I can focus on the mission, right? And so instead of trying to maintain a position that I felt God gave me a release to focus on the mission. And so that's really what I'm doing. So now, basically, I'm committed to raising up urban leaders anybody ministering in majority, minority, multi-ethnic spaces, right? Which is another way of saying urban, which by the way, it's not a niche, you know, and a lot of times people think, well, that's, oh, he's a niche area, but really it's what North America will be and what North America is in all cities, but what North America will be in 2040. And we recognize, but a lot of times as believers, we only are in the here and now, but as I look 20 years beyond, this is where everybody, most people will be ministering in a majority, minority, multi-ethnic. And so I want to give my primary energy, not my tertiary energy, to this work.
Impressive answer. You're not fooling around. I like
you
it.
You like my college word, tertiary?
That was very impressive. All around, man. I was like, wow. Well, I knew you're smart, but this is impressive. All right. Well, we're going to spend too much of our time on, though. We want to have you back on a future episode to talk some about that. Particularly today, we want to talk about multiplying early. And this is kind of a common question that people ask me is, when is the time to plant a daughter church? And sort of the rule of thumb has always been, if you don't do it within 3 years, you'll never do it. Sometimes you heard people say, let's get involved earlier, like at your first year. So the last church I planted, on our first Sunday, we took up an offering and said, we're going to plant a church out of our church within a year. And so we were going to use that money for that. So we actually, from the beginning, wanted to stay. We're going to be a multiplying church. It actually took longer than that. We did end up planting some people out, but took a little longer than a year. But as you kind of look at that, I mean, you're both in the Send Network, but also Blueprint. What do you see as patterns for when new churches, it's not just, you know, that 70-year-old Wesleyan church or that, you know, 40-year-old Pentecostal church, but new churches, when do you see new churches starting to plant new churches, and what's been healthy patterns for you to see?
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that I have seen, and really something that we've intentionally done with the Send Network, and I think it is rightfully so, in the sense of having people thinking that they need to plant pregnant, right? And so I've seen it all the way from guys planting together, understanding that one, like they're planting with two or three people, with understanding that one of those guys is coming and they're going to be there for the first 2 or 3 years, but then they're going to be going out immediately. So they go in knowing that they're going to be planting a church. So they plant with that DNA. But I think because of the stat, you know, verified or unverified, I mean, of you need to plant within the first 3 years or you don't, you know, end up planting. I think that has caused people with the multiplication mindset and that has a heart for that to kind of go in with that mindset. And I think to some degree, both healthily and I've seen unhealthily at times go in and trying to plant whether they're ready or not. You know, for instance, like at Blueprint, you know, literally we planted January 3rd, 2010 is when we had our first service. And, you know, we had our first church planting cohort, you know, our cohort is a relative word. I had two guys from the same church going through who wanted to plant. And that was 2011. So it was a year after we were already coaching and helping and preparing a group, you know, to do that. And I think, you know, and one of those things, there's both joy and excitement because I'm apostolic. I'm excited. I love to see the kingdom of God to expand, but there's lots of pain that has also come from that. Like we weren't ready in a lot of ways. We weren't ready for that. And a lot of times I think about, you know, it's not planting pregnant, but we definitely planted, you know, like as a teenager, like a teenage pregnancy.
Right.
And, you know, there's this expectations that you got to take care of your child. Well, you don't even know how to take care of yourself.
Right.
You know, and I think that that has been the case for us. And we've experienced a lot of pain and trauma, both that we have received as a church and that we have given to some of our church plants because they were expecting something from us that they didn't get because we were still trying to take care of ourselves.
Interesting. So your experience there at Blueprint would be that you did it too soon? Did you regret doing it that soon? Or are you saying that it was just painful and I don't want to say this like casually because my wife would kill me, but having a baby appears to be a painful endeavor always. So do you regret and you would like to take a little more time? Was that a mistake too soon for you guys?
I don't know. I mean, right. I think it was, it's just like child labor, you know, in the sense of would I have done it again? Yes, I would have done it again, but I wish I would have known what I know now.
Okay.
Because it wasn't that I didn't have the ability. I just didn't know that there were certain things that a plant needed, right? Or there were certain things that I should be providing as the sender, you know, that I just didn't know those things that you think that would be intuitive because you just went through the process and you knew what you needed. But a lot of times when you're looking at it from the other lens, you just don't know. And that's the reason why I'm really excited about what we've done over these last few years. Yep. You know, what we're currently doing with, you know, by creating resources for sending churches, you know, and it's like it's the old adage, I wish I knew if I would have had what we're giving now to you, it would have been a lot different for me. Yep. So it's just like, there's just more resources now. There's more help. There's more support because I would have said I would have still done it, but I would have done it in a lot different way, you know, because there was some pain that I didn't have to experience.
Makes sense. Yeah. A lot of times the advice that I have given church planners when they want to start a new church is I typically do say, and we may not be on the same page, by the way, we'll have conversations with people here and it might not be at the same, you know, we might have same not have the same opinion. What I've encouraged church planners to do is to say that from year one, they're going to be involved in a church plant. Now, depending on how year one goes, that church plant involvement could look different. It's not always, again, we want to nuance some language here. And people use this language differently in different movements. So if I'm the mother church, right? So I'm planting a church, and let's say I'm with the Church Multiplication Network, right? So I'm planting a church, and it's Assemblies of God Church. I'm the mother church. That means I'm taking primary spiritual, perhaps financial, organizational responsibility. This is my daughter church plant, like my church, not mine personally, but my church. So that may be something you can do the first year. Probably, though, you might find that a little bit daunting. So I encourage, the language I like to use is from year one, send out some people and send out some resources for a church plant. Now, that might be in partnership with 5-6 other church plants. It could be a partnership with your denomination, whatever it may be. And then by the time you get to the third year, try to intentionally take that more mother responsibility. So partner year one, year two, and then mother by the time you get to year three. Because I don't think there's a real stat that if you don't plant a church after 3 years, you'll never plant a church. But it is a pretty common observation. So so getting engaged and involved enables you to do that. You had early on, you were mentoring some people to be church planters. The last church I planted in Nashville before I came here, we had our pastoral apprentice team. Three leaders that I met with, I think it was weekly, and sent them out to, two of them went to plant a church. One of them just ended up staying at our church, but sent two of them out. It was about the second year, I think we did that. But from the beginning, it was the intentionality to multiply. People were just like, hey, when are we going to do this? We've been talking about this from the front. How do you find, or do you find, you are able to help church planters think of themselves as being involved in planting other churches beyond their own? Or is that just hard to communicate to people?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I like to say, and whenever it comes to church planting, we have a statement with Sin Network where we say that we believe that every Sin Network church is a multiplying church in the making, right? And so the question that I like for us to think about, what is the easy, obvious, and strategic next step for them becoming a multiplying church? Right. And so in that, I like to see them to see it. Like, how do I become a multiplying church? And a multiplying church is a church that is discovering, developing, and deploying from within. Mm-hmm. Right. So when I start first is like, okay, first you're a church plant, and then we want you to be a supporting church. Okay. And then from a supporting church to ascending church, and then ascending church to a multiplying church. Okay. And so what that looks like is a supporting church can be a church, and as you talked about, can be it's just get into the game. Like, it doesn't have to be anything that you've done or you're sending anyone, but just you can even pray. You know, so we talk about just praying intentionally with your congregation or with your core team, you know, wherever you are, just constantly praying for people. Like you said, sending people or sending resources or helping out, you know, with the church plant so they can just see multiplication on their, get that in their DNA. Right. But then going to the first sending, like you've had your first child, like first is like I babysitted someone else's child, but now I'm having my own child. Right. And then you start realizing, oh, that's how you have children. And you start doing that more. Right. And then you go. So I'm going to stop the analogy there. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, is this the idea? The idea is like once you develop how to raise up people from within and sending them out, that's what you become a multiplying church, that you're discovering, developing, deploying from within. But how do we kind of create that? And at first, it's just like, hey, I love children. Yeah. You know, even if it's not my children, I'll go babysit other people's children. I help them have children, you know, and then you kind of move from there. And so that's really what we try to do, is just like give people exposure, get your congregation in exposure to it so that they can think beyond themselves.
Yeah. Could you gave a kind of a stair-step ladder there, that different level. Could you go through the language again and just give a sentence or two what each step looks like?
Yeah. So basically, when we're talking about every church is a multiplying church in the making. They have the DNA to be a multiplying church. A multiplying church is a church that discovers, develops, and deploys from within. So we try to think of the easy, obvious, and strategic next steps to helping you become that all the way from birth. So first, as a church plant, and a church plant is anything that's within the first two, and we say up to 5 years that you are in your church plant. And okay. We immediately try to get a church plant to become a supporting church. And in a supporting church is any church that is either praying, participating, or partnering with a church plant. And when that, and it may not, and it's not their own. It hasn't come from them per se, but they're partnering. And that may be a few churches collectively coming together and praying for or participating or partnering with a church plant, or, you know, or it could be a lot of different, you know, other variables, both, or it could be just simply constantly praying for or supporting financially. It's just getting them in. So then it goes to ascending church. And ascending church is a church that you went through some type of training. You helped someone discover and you went through some type of training, but it's your firstborn, right? That you send out, that you've commissioned, you've ordained, and you're taking responsibility, right? You know, for that church plant, the primary responsibility. Now that there, while you have the primary responsibility, there may be other supporting churches that are coming alongside, but with the support, with the sending church, is that if that church plant doesn't win or doesn't, you know, pass or, you know, succeed, then we feel like we haven't succeeded, like, because we're all in with that church plant. There's a sense of responsibility, you know. And then there's the multiplying church. And the multiplying church is that you have a system that you have developed, you know, of discovering, developing, deploying from within. You know, there's some churches that, you know, I would kind of put in the middle, that they're not necessarily multiplying church, but they're super sending churches. And these are the ones who, you know, they don't have any type of form of residency or way to develop from within, but they have a platform by some way to get already discipled, already trained guys. They spend 6 months with them and they send them out, you know, and they put their stamp on them, you know. And I would say that's a super sending church and that's good. But the problem is that everybody's looking for that type of already discipled, already trained person. And that well is running a lot drier, you know. And so we try to get our pastors to begin to look at, like, hey, the next generation of church planters are either not saved in your neighborhood or they're currently in your pews, you know? And so how do we do that? How do we help kind of move them from where they are to the next, to be the next, you know, church plant?
Love it, love it. And so we're talking about raising up men and women to be part of church planting teams early on. And the question is how early? And that's part of what we're trying to figure out is what does that look like? So talk to us finances for just a moment. Church planting can be expensive. How are you encouraging new churches? Remember, our particular focus is new church plants, planting daughter churches. What might they look like to set aside some of the money for church planting, or how might they find resources for that? Now, let me say too, we would say that many of you listening are connected with denominations and networks, and those denomination networks will often partner with you, particularly when, you know, let's say you're 2 years old, you're sending people out. Oh, let me give a personal example if I can. So we had a vision church I was planting years ago of planting two daughter churches on our third anniversary on one day. And we were going to give up 50 to 75 of our people. We were running about 300 at the time, 50 to 75 of our people. And we approached our denominational district and said, would you partner with us? Now for them, they knew we were putting in, I mean, I don't know how much money, but it was, I'm guessing $100,000. Well, they came alongside us because they saw they were going to get two new churches that were going to be partnering with them as well. So the denomination one, I think we probably know. But what do you think of that year one, year two, year three? How can I start prioritizing financially church planting out of my new church?
Yeah, and I think that was one of the things that, you know, when I talk about planting as a teenager, you know, as a teenager, is I think out of most of the things is like we can continue to provide relationships and that, but we didn't have any resources because it was like, we're still in support, right? We're still trying to raise, we're still trying to become self-funded, you know, in a sense, or internally funded. And so I think that's one. And so what we did is that, you know, when we sent people, we just wanted to make sure like, hey, by us sending people, we're sending resources, you know, and we weren't able to, for us in our story, we weren't able to give a lot more additional, actually no additional, but as you already said, I tried to leverage other relationships, you know, occasionally as I, you know, to go that way, but specifically we weren't able to give more. And so what we saw ourselves doing, we would keep the person on staff for a month or two or 3 months, you know, and while they were on staff, you know, allow them, give them 3 months to go raise support, so that without having to worry about their own personal support, you know, and then we'll give them people support in there. But again, part of that was you know, what I would, those, that's one of the things I would have done differently now. I would have created some type of longer term plan for those, for them, understanding that while 3 months is great of being, you know, and as a church plant, that's actually a lot, but man, we could have done so much more and thought so much more long term, you know, for, but because we were in kind of the moment, right, and we were in survival mode, that's part of the challenge is the financial challenge that we have. And then also the strain, the financial strain that we had on ourselves, you know, because when we sent out one of our churches, you know, when we would send out like very similar 30, 40 people, you know, it was just like, whoa, that's a lot of the top givers.
I know.
Those are a lot of the, because they, people, you know, you've heard us say it before, when people send out, you know, it's always your best people that go. It's givers. It's the people who's serving. It's the, like, they're the ones, and, you know, and that's the ones that's going. And so, but what it, and it's been, and it gets hard oftentimes. And so what has happened at Blueprint, you know, there was times when people said, hey, I'm not going anymore. I'm tired. I'm not getting close to anybody anymore because of the pain that comes. And so literally once we got about 8 years in, we had to tell our people, hey, we're not planting in 2019. We're not going to plant any churches, you know, and we're going to kind of rethink our strategy because, and it was because of the pain that people were feeling relationally, right? The pain that they were feeling with, you know, with developing, always constantly developing new teams, new friendships, new, you know, saying goodbyes. Because we all say, oh, it's going to, you know, we're going to keep in touch. We're going to, but we know that the relationship is never the same, right? And so all of those things are hard. And I think that I would also better shepherd my church, right? I would shepherd my church better. I would shepherd the pastor that's leaving better, you know, about expectations and relationships and things. So there's so many things that I would do different knowing now, but it is what it is. And you know, and I just kind of grieve that reality, but that's why I'm passionate about helping other churches to not face, have to live the life that I lived in order to see, to do what God has called them to do.
Good advice, good counsel, good input. We were listening to Hadi Lewis. This is the newchurches.com podcast. I want to encourage you, give you a closing encouraging word to get involved early and often in church planting. Now, that's going to look different in different contexts. Not everyone's going to have the same timeline to do that. But I think what Hadi and I and lots of others in church planting leadership would agree strongly with is that most people, most, not all, some can go too early, most take too long. Is they kind of focus on their church plant, but you can, as Dottie mentioned, by the way, Dottie's in New York City, so you can actually hear some of the background. He's there in New York City, and we're thankful for him being doing ministry in different places. But what I would say is, if early on people are accustomed that you're a church planting church, so that's why for the first Sunday on the first service, you know, we reached a whole lot of people who didn't know the Lord there, but we also said we're a multiplying church, and this offering will be going towards our next church plant. It sets that agenda. You look for those opportunities. You raise up those leaders, men and women who are going to go out in church planting teams and make a difference. Thanks for listening. Let me remind you again to leave a review wherever you listened to and downloaded this podcast. Thanks for subscribing to newchurches.com.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you liked what you heard, take a minute to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources and to participate in the Church Planting Masterclass, visit newchurches.com.